Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Wednesday. It is Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Days have lost meaning. We're already into that period of time.
Yep.
So, but it is Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
We're going to give you, I think, probably some longer podcasts today and tomorrow just to get you through the Christmas break if you're traveling or if you're, you know, looking for a way to get away from family or whatever you're up to. You can escape with us for a bit. So we'll make these podcasts a little bit longer. Today on the show, we're going to talk about, well, we're going to wish you and yours a Terry Christmas.
Yeah, of course.
This anthropological theory that a friend of the show told us about and kind of blew me away. Shauna found a new type of gym in LA. It's hard to believe this even exists.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Calgary City Council's latest decision. We're going to talk about strange hangovers. There are some new restrictions in place in the province, so we'll touch on that just briefly. There's also supposed to be a press conference with the Prime Minister in 18 minutes from when we're recording this. So we'll keep an eye on that to see what happens, but I guess you'll find out tomorrow. What else? We're going to talk about the best Christmas desserts. But first, Sean is about to experience the softest Christmas ever.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Shauna, I know you're planning to head to Vancouver for Christmas with your family.
Yeah, that's where we're supposed to be meeting up.
Are you still planning to go?
As of right now, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'll see.
You might want to rethink your trip.
Oh.
Not because of COVID specifically, although maybe that is a factor for you. I don't know. But yeah. I just got to put the friend of the show, Michael, sent me a story on Instagram yesterday from the Daily Hive about how Vancouver is expecting what could be their coldest Christmas in recorded history.
Dear God.
On Christmas Day, they are looking at a daytime high of -1.
How will they live?
-1. That is
-1.
And that's dangerously close to their record low of -1.7.
Beckler, that is just dipping below 0 degrees, which, oh my God.
That is south of zero, Shauna. You're not wrong.
My God, I saw all the articles about how, oh, we're expecting a white Christmas for the first time, and oh, it's going to be cold, and that is embarrassing. -1, really?
-1. And then you add the dampness on top of that, and it might as
minus
well be
100.
Minus, yeah.
Yep.
Zero
minus
Kelvin. It's
100.
Freezing.
Yep. We can't
that
survive.
That damp
in it.
Cold, it gets in all your crevices, and you just can't get it out.
No. No, you might as well just lay down and die at that point, because you can't.
I was looking through the comments on this article, and I was hoping to see the hashtag Vancouver soft all over it, but I didn't. So I just don't think we're working hard enough to get our message out there.
Did you say text PUSS to 1234?
No, but if you haven't allotted your holiday donations yet, you might want to reconsider.
Yes.
Text PUSS to 12345, their coldest Christmas in recorded history.
My God.
-1.
How will they survive?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I saw this tweet about a soup hangover yesterday, and it absolutely...
a soup hangover?
A soup hangover, and it absolutely killed me. I don't even remember what the preface of the tweet was, but a friend and I were laughing about this recently and about how as we get older, basically everything gives us hangovers now.
So this person went too hard on the soup and
apparently got a little bit of a soup hangover from it. But honestly, like, you know, it of course booze, right? That hangover, sometimes we get multiple day hangovers as you get older. But then even like sweet things, if I eat too much sugar, the next morning I'll wake up and sometimes I can feel a little bit off. It's like I have a sugar hangover. Too much sugar the night before.
For
you
sure.
Wake up, you're like, ugh.
Anything like that, really. If you have too big of a meal the night before, it's like, oh, what did I do?
For me, like, rich foods, if it's just overly rich, and then the next morning I wake up and I'm like, that just doesn't feel good. Stomach's a little bit off from that. I can't wait till I'm 90 and everything in the world is going to be a hangover. Like, no, I can't have that chip. That will give me a hangover. Like, do you have just a lettuce leaf on the menu by chance? Because really, that's the only thing that doesn't give me a hangover these days.
You're right. If you can get a soup or sweets hangover in your 30s, what does it look like in your 80s?
Honestly, You can't eat anything. No, everything gives you a hangover, you know? Go and have a mint. Ooh, that mint might give me a hangover tomorrow.
I better
tomorrow.
Not have that mint. I'm driving.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So we've got some new restrictions in the province.
Ew.
I mean, they're fairly targeted, and they're mostly regarding larger capacity venues.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, like, once again, some of it doesn't make sense. Like
500-person venues are unaffected.
If you're under 500.
If over 500 and under, yeah.
500 and under.
And then if you're over that, then it's 50% capacity. So if you have 550, then you can only have
275.
Which doesn't. Anyway.
If you're a 450 capacity room, you can be at full capacity.
Yes.
But if you're a 600, if you're a bigger room, if you're 600 capacity, then you can only be at 300. Huh?
But you can only have 10 people in your house, though.
Right. Okay.
And then outside, 20, limited to 20. But in a venue at 500, it's fine.
Then bars and restaurants are once again looking at reduced hours. And you got to think, like, just a week ago, we were easing restrictions.
I know.
And, you know, I feel for those bars and restaurants, again, these businesses who have done everything they were told, right?
Yeah.
The people got vaccinated. They implemented the restrictions exemption program, the REP, because they didn't really have a choice in the matter. They probably took a lot of abuse for doing so.
Yep. They got the app. And they've done everything they need to do.
And regardless of that, we're still cutting your hours back.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it's even worse in other provinces. If you look around the rest of Canada, their restrictions are even more severe, the new ones they brought in.
Well, BC just announced, gyms are also shut down.
Oh, man.
And bars and nightclubs are shut down. However, pubs and restaurants are still open at 50%. So,
okay.
But again, down to 50% now capacity for those as well. So,
and then out in Quebec, they're worried about the potential of another curfew coming in.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's unbelievable. And you said the prime minister has a press conference coming up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yep.
With Chrystia Freeland and some of the top doctors.
Top doctors to make an announcement of some sort. So I'm not sure what that will be, but.
My God. I mean, selfishly, I'm relieved that they've left gyms alone here in the province. I think everyone kind of has their thing.
Yeah.
And if they touch that thing, that's when you get upset.
For sure.
Had they closed gyms, I mean, I would be close to joining the anti-restriction protests at that point. At no point throughout the pandemic have I felt the need to, like, make a sign
and
go march about anything. But if they close gyms again, I might.
That's fair.
I might. And I've even thought of some clever things that I would put on my sign. Only marching to hit 10,000 steps.
Yep. Got to get your step count up. That's why you're in the protest. It's nothing more. Just need to hit the steps because you closed your gym.
That's right.
Yeah.
With I'd be at the gym, but you closed it. Now I'm here.
Yeah.
Even like with the restrictions exemption program, we enacted the rep. Now give us our reps. Might even throw something about 5G on this sign just so I really fit in, you know?
It's
and
a good
also
idea.
5G.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got thinking about Christmas desserts yesterday, which, as you do, it's the time of year for it. And it got me thinking, what's the goat of Christmas dessert? What is the greatest of all time when it comes to desserts on Christmas time? So there are some staples, okay, that everybody has during the holidays, obviously. There's the sugar cookies.
Yep.
Okay, there's the gingerbread cookies. And then there's the weird desserts that are a little less popular, but everybody still has, like the plum pudding.
Yep.
Okay, and the figgy pudding, as you could. The fruit cake is another one.
Is figgy pudding the same as plum pudding?
I don't know.
No.
I think they're very similar, though. It's the same concept. There's some weird fruit in a puddingy thing, and you heat it up.
And then the fruit cake, you're right.
And the fruit cake goes along
with it. So let's just rule those two out right away.
However, those might be the OGs.
How not, come? Only like the oldest?
The oldest.
Yeah, back when we didn't have...
It's because fruit used to actually be the sweet thing, because we didn't have chocolate to put in our desserts and all the other sugar and stuff, so instead they used fruit to sweeten everything. So those were the original sweet desserts.
And if you just think about, like, transportation limitations back then, like...
It's weird crap with fruit in it. Just, put fruit in it and it's sweet. Ew.
Getting an orange in Canada in the 1800s was probably a real thrill.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then you want to go with, there's the, like, the Toblerone bars and the Lindt chocolates, which
after
have become
mints,
a big part
stuff.
Of the conversation now, right? Like, they decorate their packaging for it. And every time Christmas comes about, they are moved right to the front of the store because everybody knows you're going to buy those. So could it be one of those?
And you have some sort of platter out. For your guests to sort of pick at.
And there's, the squares, like all kinds of squares that you make. All of them.
I know for me personally, it's sugar cookies. I love sugar cookies with icing that are decorated like Christmas.
Yeah.
That would be for me. But I think gingerbread could maybe give it a real run for its money. Not, and gingerbread isn't my favorite, but in terms of representing Christmas.
Yeah. And I love gingerbread more so than sugar cookies myself.
Oh, okay.
But sugar cookies, I'd say maybe more made
for Christmas.
Yeah. Gingerbread just takes a little bit more effort, whereas everybody tends to put out the sugar cookies.
Does gingerbread happen ever outside of Christmas, though? Because sugar cookies do.
You're right. Yeah, sugar cookies are all the time.
Like, think of a gingerbread house, a gingerbread man.
I know.
Those are...
It's exclusive to Christmas. Does it make it the goat, though? Perhaps. If it's only coming around but once a year, then maybe we'd go with that as the goat.
And if it's up against fruitcake and figgy pudding, then I think you got your answer there, partner.
People used to like that. Why do we still make it and put it on the table, though? I don't know.
We don't have to eat this anymore.
No, we don't have to.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Good morning, my friends. How are you today?
Garbage man, Mike. We're great. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm great. I was going to mention ginger snaps, man.
Yeah, that would be in the conversation, too.
Absolutely. But I got a funny story to tell you about my son and hangovers.
Okay.
Yep.
He went to the mall when he was 13 years old and bought himself $60 worth of cinnamon bun.
Oh, my God.
All of them. For 2 days, the kid slept. We didn't know what was going on. We were ready to take him to the hospital. When he finally woke up from this coma, he told us that he ate $60 worth of cinnamon buns and got cinnamon poisoning.
So you didn't even know when he was out what had caused it.
No, exactly. But he slept. We just checked to make sure he was still breathing.
Oh, man. And that would do it. Oh, cinnamon buns have got to be one of the most sugar-dense things you could possibly eat. Like,
oh.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I remember I used to eat a large one of those, like, from Cinnabon when I was growing up as a kid. And, like, one of those, yeah, I'd be wired for 7 hours, and then you have the crash. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He crashed.
There you go.
That's hilarious.
That was a truly sugar hangover,
yeah,
100%.
He almost died from cinnamon buns.
Yeah.
So.
That's basically how it is. Yeah, he basically almost died.
You know, they say everything in moderation, and I'm sure if you consumed enough of basically anything, you can make yourself pretty sick, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can poison yourself with water if you drink enough of it.
I know. So I'm sure, yeah, like, I can't imagine. Oh, God, thinking about that. Just knowing how, like, again, I'm old, and so now sweets affect me more, but thinking about the amount of sugar in those cinnamon buns. Delicious. The first few bites of those, unbelievable. And then as you get deeper into it and you start to, like, get that sugar kick, you're like, Jesus.
Around $1.35
you're like,
have I made a mistake?
I've made a mistake.
No,
I've already made a mistake.
I'm not throwing out $25 worth of cinnamon buns, though.
Oh, God.
So you get your foot back on the gas is what you do.
Throw it up and then to keep going. I don't know.
Buns.
Make it worth it.
Years ago, my friend and I were judging a battle of the bands, and he doesn't drink. So I got free drinks all night because I was there as a judge. And he was like, well, what do I get? And they're like, well, we have energy drinks. And he's like, all right, keep them coming.
Oh,
he
God.
Drank 6 rock stars in one night. And he said the next morning his piss was neon green.
Yep.
So
it would be radioactive.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think you could have, like,
a little too much.
You could have ran a nuclear plant on that piss.
Yep.
So
okay.
Don't do that.
No.
He said, everything in moderation.
In, like... The ancient Romans used to actually do that. They would eat so much that they would then throw up so that they could continue to eat. Like, they'd eat so much to be so full, and then they couldn't continue, and they'd vomit to make more room for more food.
And was that because they weren't sure when they were going to get their next meal?
No, it was, like, to show the class, right? Because for you to be able to eat so much that you actually feel ill was rare and showed the gluttony in the class, and, that's how much money you had, right?
Wow. It's kind of like... You know, being heavier was a good thing back then because it meant that you weren't out working with your hands. You weren't you weren't working a physical job.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's really funny.
Yep.
I'm so sick. I'm so sick. I'm so rich and so sick.
So, all right, well, vomit it up and keep going. Yeah, I'm going to vomit and then just eat all of it again.
Oh, yeah. This is so gross now, but it's great because I'm rich.
Imagine? Ugh.
Terrible way to live.
Yep.
Hey, I was just going to weigh in on the cookie making. We made gingerbread last night, and a couple weeks ago we made the sugar cookies.
What one out? What was better?
I don't know. I think I like the sugar cookies. because we cut out the middles, and then you add like lifesavers, and then you get the glass, so it looks like magic windows. Yeah.
Oh,
it's cool.
Wow. Beautiful.
The other one that I couldn't remember was shortbread cookies.
Oh yeah.
But shortbread is that's a huge one too during Christmas, and you don't see those outside of Christmas normally with like some sprinkles and some festive red.
My grandma used to put a maraschino cherry on top of each one, and they were so good.
Yes, the green and red cherries that literally I think were made for shortbread cookies, like
just for that.
So that's another option, right?
I find with sugar cookies, I always come in very enthusiastic. Yeah. And then by the end, I'm just like, let's just get these suckers decorated and get them out.
Yeah, it's true.
Know? Yeah.
And shortbread.
You're cutting them out, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Make it a ball.
That's right.
Shortbread, I find, is one that it could go either way. They can be really good or they can be not so good. Whipped shortbread is the new one that makes them a lot softer. Sometimes if you overcook them, I find they're a bit too chalky and I don't like the shortbread.
You're right.
Cookie.
Sometimes they get dry.
Yeah. And then it's gross.
Yeah, there's a fine line there.
It really is. You better know how to make them or else I'm going to be pissed.
Right.
It's like you pop.
Nobody wants a shitty shortbread cookie. Figure it out.
Like a puff of dust in your mouth takes all the moisture.
Yeah.
You put it in your coffee, it just disappears.
And you're like, what happened? What happened to this thing? Yeah.
Oh, what's your name?
It's Chris.
Chris.
I forgot about the popcorn balls. I haven't seen those forever.
Oh, popcorn balls are classic.
Don't they have like gummies and shit in them?
Yeah.
No. Just caramel.
Okay.
Or caramel, whatever you
caramel.
Use.
I like the marshmallow peanut butter squares are my personal favorite, but that's not a Christmas thing. That's kind of an all-around square thing, you know? But you could make an argument for just the plate of squares, because that's a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. You need the mixture. Then you got it all.
Yeah, I'm a big Nanaimo bar fan, but I don't see those very often, so...
I'm a huge Nanaimo bar person. I used to have a massive one every time I went snowboarding. It was a big tradition for me.
McKenna's mom makes this Christmas dessert called Christmas Crack.
And I've heard
I don't know if it's called that because it cracks like to eat it or because it's addictive like crack cocaine.
No, it's Christmas crack is actually, it's my favorite, my personal favorite. And we probably
it'd be your goat?
Yep.
Goat in your own world?
Oh, yeah. And it's, well, they make it at upstairs. Every time we have that big Italian lunch, they'll bring in the Christmas crack too. Yeah, it's a staple. And it's called crack because
Jones
you can't stop eating
Christmas
it.
Christmas crack.
Yep.
Oh, dangerous.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The VNS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
One thing we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday is this proposal in City Council to contribute financially to the legal challenge of Bill 21 in Quebec.
Right.
They discussed it. This motion was going to be put forward by Councillor Jean-Carlo Corral, and Mayor Gondek said she supported it. And they voted on it on Monday night. They voted 10-5 in favor of endorsing the legal challenge. But the city, they won't vote on contributing any money until the spring now.
Right.
So instead, they're going to form a task force to find out how Calgarians think we should fight the law in Quebec.
Which is... better than just going through with it and...
Well, is it? We don't know what this task force is going to cost.
Fair.
It's one of those moments where I'm not really sure how to feel. Because we talked about this last week and I voiced my opposition to it. I still think it's one of the worst ideas of how to spend city money that I've ever heard of.
And I, the whole time, wasn't convinced that it was ever going to happen. I was thinking that they were using this as a way to be like... we support, you know, the...
Yeah, they call that virtue signaling.
Yeah,
But I mean, as you said, on one hand, like if they realized that it was ludicrous to spend Calgary money fighting a Quebec problem, then, and they came to their senses, that's probably something that we should acknowledge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, I mean, they didn't really say that. They are going the task force route instead. And I also can't help but wonder if they are motivated more by the realization that it was going to be an incredibly unpopular move and it was going to give their critics ammunition for many years. And in that sense, they sort of chickened out, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it chickening out or, again, realizing what the, you know, climate is around you saying this and kind of pivoting because of it, right? Which, I mean, I think we need to respect, right, rather than... someone who maybe doubles down when they, people are against this.
But they didn't come out and say,
Yeah.
We were wrong about this. They passed it off to a task force now that we don't know how much is going to cost.
Right.
And then maybe we revisit it down the road. Mm-hmm. Maybe it goes away completely. We don't know. That's why
So you would have rather them just...
Yeah, I would have liked to see it go to a
admitted.
Vote.
Admitted. Oh, okay.
I would like to see the council vote on whether or not we should commit $100,000 to this legal fight. Because then I could know where my counselor stands. I could know what the rest of council thinks about that.
But the fact that they're opening it up to the general population is better for me than just leaving it up to these counselors.
Is it the general population or is it going to be interest groups? Mm. Is it we don't know. This they backdoored their way out of this, what I think was going to be an incredibly unpopular move. Even for most of the counselors seem to have the good sense to voice their opposition to the bill, which I think almost everybody agrees with.
Yeah.
That the bill is should not have gone through in Quebec. Yeah. But whether or not we should send money to fight it, that's what I think would have been incredibly unpopular.
Yeah.
And this is, to me, this is essentially chickening out. Stand in there, take your licks, put it to a vote. Let's see what they really think.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
When I was in LA on the weekend, I passed a business called The Face Gym. And at first I was like, okay, well, they probably offer, you know, facials and Botox and that kind of thing. And
just a cheeky name.
Just a cheeky name. And they do. They also offer actual face workouts. It is an actual face gym, a literal gym for your face. You can book studio time to go give your face a workout.
This might be the only place in the world where a face gym could survive as a business.
The most LA thing I have ever heard in my life, that people go to work out their face. Like, oh, I'm going to work out today. Oh, what are you working out? Legs, arms, face. It's face workout day.
Man, I've been skipping face my whole life, basically. Have you been doing face?
Oh, my God. Like, are you kidding? What do you even wear to a face gym? Do you still wear sweatpants when you're just only working out your face? Like,
and what does the equipment look like?
When I get my face on, I can't imagine. I should have asked for a tour of the studio. Yeah. I should have walked in and been like,
Can I have a free trial, please?
I'm thinking of working out face today. Can I give it a go? Just, yeah, a trial workout. How much does it cost for a walk-in for my face workout?
See, my current gym is really lacking in their face area. They got pretty good for free weights and cardio, but not a lot for your face.
It is unbelievable.
You know, so many people go to LA to try to make it as actors.
Yep. That's why you have a face gym. Yeah. You got to keep your face limber for acting.
Well, a friend of mine who was an actor, he told me that, like, so much of acting is in the eyebrows.
Mm, yeah.
And, man, he could make his eyebrows friggin' dance.
Oh, my God. Is there a machine for that? How do you...
Good question.
An eyebrow lifter? Like, up, down. Yeah. Keep going.
Two big suction cups and some weights hanging from them.
Right? No, pull it up. Harder!
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Yesterday we were talking about whether alcohol has been a net positive or net negative throughout human history, and we were looking at that from a few different angles, and that conversation is in video form on our Facebook page if you care. Most people who commented on that video, though, felt that booze has definitely done more harm than good to humanity.
Yeah, and I think it's that, I mean... most people, you know, can drink in moderation, but the negatives outweigh the bad for a lot of people, because when it's bad, it's really bad.
Yeah. The good is good. The bad is quite bad.
Awful. Yeah.
But I got a message from a friend of the show, Denise, about this theory in anthropology, and perhaps you've even heard of it. I hadn't. That civilization exists because of alcohol.
I haven't heard that.
No. So I had to do a bit of reading last night, but I guess we have direct evidence that the making of beer goes back at least 13,000 years.
Like, I know that. I mean, it's been tied to even religious, you know, ceremonies and religious things. Like, I remember because women brewed beer, and we've talked about this before, like the etymology of beer with women who used to brew it in ancient times, and men weren't even allowed to touch the beer because they were believed to have that magical power with it. So I did know that.
Witch beer.
Witch beer.
These witches are making beer.
Right? But yeah, I didn't realize that, like, humanity existing because of it. That's...
Yeah, so this was in Israel about 13,000 years ago that beer was... that we have evidence that it was made, but they think probably even as far back as 20,000 years.
Wow.
And, I mean, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but even, you know, at times when the water hasn't been super clean, beer has been a safer option for something to drink. But the theory is that agriculture arose to make better beer and not the other way around.
Wow. I didn't know
that. Farming for food actually came from beer and not beer coming from farming for food.
Hmm.
And as we know, like, agriculture was, you know, was the reason humans could transition from nomadic hunter-gatherer groups to living in one place and establishing civilizations. So maybe beer was the thing that did that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
As a big beer fan myself, I really enjoy this. This is great. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also theories about alcohol's role in creativity and spontaneity. And there was actually a book written, I think last year, by a UBC professor named Edward Slingerland that goes into great detail about this. But, you know, and you mentioned yesterday, too, we've always used substances to change our moods and our perceptions and stuff. And they said probably even our monkey ancestors were getting a bit goofy off of fermented berries, right?
Well, you see all the videos and stuff of the drunk squirrels off the fermented berries, and it's always hilarious to watch.
Forever.
They probably do it intentionally, too.
Cavemen.
Woo-hoo!
Making bad decisions, fighting.
Squirrels making bad decisions, everybody.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I have this thing now where every time I hear Christmas songs that have Mary in them, I immediately change it to Terry.
I have that too.
Yes, because it's just it's a much better visual. You know, like Merry Christmas, everything is very wholesome. Terry Christmas is just a little more edgy, a little more redneck.
There's
a little
way more drinking and smoking, way more things blowing up, things being set on fire.
Exactly.
I like to liberally sprinkle swears throughout Christmas favorites. That's how I cook, because McKenna has Christmas music on from November 15th till New Year's.
Yep.
So I hear it nonstop.
I know.
So I swear in it, and that's one way I cope. And then I add Terry.
Yes.
In place of Mary, just like you.
Last year I was mentioning this as well. It was just like, it's just a great way to really add and spice up these classic Christmas carols, you know? Like, instead of, we all know this one, right? We wish you a Merry Christmas, but it's a lot better if you really just add some Terry into it.
We wish you a Terry Christmas. We wish you a Terry Christmas and a happy new beer.
So that just makes it way better.
And Terry went on to have many new beers that night.
Sure did.
He passed out in his jeans.
And this is what everybody is so, like, you know, really heartfelt and... Have yourself Terry, little Christmas, let your dart be lighted. Instead of harpy light, you just gotta add a little more stank into it. You know, that's all you need. Really make it a little less classy for everyone around.
Yeah. The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got a new phone the other day.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I hummed and hawed about whether or not I needed one, but the deal was really good. I had 11 gigabytes of data that I was paying X number of dollars for on my plan. And they're like, we can get you 40 gigabytes of data for less money.
Yeah.
And I was like, almost four times as much data for less money?
Well, I've told you about how this happens to me every time. Every time I, like, go back to them, they're like, oh, we'll give you more for less. And every time I'm like, what is going on here?
That's never happened. I have to scratch and claw to get to, I was at like 7 gigs and I got up to 11 and it took hours on the phone. And now they're like, we can actually increase that fourfold.
I always find that very weird.
I was like, how bad was I getting rinsed before?
Yeah, I know. Like,
I'm excited about the new deal, but also you were hosing me.
It's not necessarily a good thing when they say that to you, because you're like, well, why wouldn't you have phoned me up and told me I was getting ripped off before this?
There's also, I find, like, with the phone itself, there's this, like, strange sentimentality when it comes to your phone. Like, I was looking at my old phone and I was like, that's still good.
Yeah.
Do I need a new one? Like, I wasn't ready to give it up. And
you look at it and you're like, think of all the tasteful nudes that we've taken together.
You and me together.
It's been a voyage. I'm sad to let you go.
But they aren't just devices anymore. They're almost extensions of ourselves, right?
You spend a lot of time on them.
You have no other possession that you would be, like, that you're never further than arm's reach away from, right? You're always just a few steps away from your phone, like basically all the time, unless you make a conscious effort not to. I also think it would be interesting to look into the psychology department in, say, a company like Apple, because there's almost like a ritual to activating a new phone. Like, when you turn it on, it has like this warm welcome for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, let's get to know each other a bit first. Let's take a look at your face. Let's scan your face. What language do you speak? What are your preferences?
I just find all that annoying. Like, hurry up now. Yeah.
And it's so, like, it's so clean and warm. And
I mean, Apple is, I mean, their graphic design and the design features of Apple are always amazing, right? That's their thing. That's what they take pride in. So it makes sense that it would be a lovely visual to turn on a new phone.
But even, like, the employee who was helping me, because he was like, do you want to set it up here or at home? I was like, I can do it at home. But the way he was handling the phone, it was with, like, such reverence.
It's because those employees are a bit weird, okay? We've talked about
this
that
this wasn't
before.
The Apple Store, though.
Oh, okay.
Because I would have expected that at the Apple Store. This
they're always like, don't touch
my service
it that
provider.
Way. Okay, interesting.
And he had to check to make sure the phone was working, powered up. So he just, like, peeled the screen protector from the factory back just a little bit just to see if the phone was working. Because he's like, I know you'll probably want to do your own unboxing when you get home. And I was like, yeah, this is a full-on, like, ceremony for some people. The passing of one phone to another.
Although, also, if you were to take that off and then something happened to the screen, you'd be like, it's because he took off the screen protector.
Good point.
So it's also that.
Yeah, he's like, do you need a bag? And I said, no, I'll just carry the box out. He's like, but what if the box opens and it falls out? I should get you a bag. Okay.
All right.
Okay. But yeah.
All right.
Old phone's gone, new phone's in.
Okay. It's new phone, new nudes.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Calgary Heritage Moment.
Christmas is generally a time for giving, and there are always plenty of fundraisers and charity events around this time of year. And one of Calgary's more notable charity events dates back to the 30s and 40s.
The Calgary Herald sponsored the Sunshine Club, which was known to support families who were having a hard time around the holidays. They would offer Christmas hampers to these families and fresh milk for undernourished children. You could purchase 25-cent tickets for a chance to win a purebred puppy that was donated by Carson Kennels.
Tickets could be purchased from paper boys, from the Herald's head office, or on the night of the event, which was held at the famous Palace Theater. One year, things got even more exciting with the donation of a pony.
A Shetland pony was donated by the president of Occulta Oils, a man named William Heron, who was a key figure in the development of the Turner Valley oil field. William decided to generously donate his family's pony, whose name was Midget. A name that probably wouldn't fly today.
But Midget came down to the Palace Theater on the night of the event, his mane braided and hooves polished, and he was raffled off. The man who won him? A gentleman named Lloyd Williger from Nova Scotia, who was attending Air Force training here in Calgary, and happened upon the Palace Theater on a free evening during his training.
Of course, shipping the pony home provided some logistical issues, so instead, Midget became a mascot at the Air Force base. A small stable was erected on the base, and a custom-made blanket with the Air Force emblem was designed. Midget proved very popular, but unfortunately, her owner, Lloyd Williger, was posted overseas, never to return.
He was aboard a Wellington bomber when it was shot down in Germany. Midget, however, lived on in Williger's honor, leading weekly parades on the base and even fronting the Stampede Parade one year.
This has been a Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the V&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have V&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.